Big thank you to everybody that came out and helped transform the church and decorate. Doesn't it look nice? Just a beautiful, great reminder to us of the reason for the season and just the celebration that we talked about last week. The lights remind us that our Heavenly Father is the Father of lights. And it just, I don't know, it just warms up the environment, and we're grateful for that. Okay? This morning, as we continue our series, I want us to start by watching a video clip that's going to kind of set the tone for our message this morning. There's nothing that will separate me from my kids. Just for a moment, I want each of us to imagine that was our Father speaking to us or about us. We live in a world where most people hearing these words don't have any problem with hearing them. But there are some people, and I'm guessing some of you even here this morning, that hearing those words are filled with fear or anger and even terror because of what you experienced at the hands of your biological father or a stepfather. And if that's you, I'm so very sorry. My most sincere prayer for you is that if you haven't already, today you'll understand and recognize that there's a Father that you never have to be afraid of, embarrassed by, or have to doubt his motives and his love for you. So listen to these words once again and hear them coming from your Heavenly Father. There's nothing that will separate me from my kids. After this trip, our relationship will never be the same. That's a good thing. New beginnings. That's what I'm all about. That's my plan for this Christmas. A new beginning with my kids. Friends, that's what Christmas is all about. That's what the first Christmas was all about. God came near. He came to us because there was and there is nothing that will separate him from you and me. Father, I pray that today you would take us right where we're at, and you will help us to see, no matter what our background is, no matter what our past experience has been, that you will help us hear these words from you, and that we will see Christmas as you coming to us, because there's nothing that's going to separate you from us, and that's a good thing. So, Father, if there's somebody here today that needs a new beginning, we pray your blessing upon them, that they will find that they will start anew with you. Father, help us to learn, help us to hear, help us to see how your coming near to us impacts us and how it pushes us out to share that gift with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, have you ever had an aha moment? Anybody had an aha moment? You know what I mean. It's most of us have had several we think of. Some are more significant than others, and some of them can be life-changing. Sitting on a bench or a log at church camp, hearing the speaker talk and challenge and realizing it was time to quit talking about being a Christian and actually start letting Christ live in you. Aha. Total surrender. Maybe it's hearing a man speak about love and saying over and over again how true, genuine love begins in the mind and moves to the heart. And genuine love does not fear. And upon hearing those words, all of a sudden you realize the doubts and insecurities that you had let frighten you out of the best relationship you'd ever had could possibly cost you the love of your life. Aha. Total commitment. An otherworldly being wakes you from your sleep, tells you that you're going to have a baby, even though you haven't been intimate with your fiancé or your husband, and that baby's the child of God, the coming Messiah. Or a dream tells you that your fiancé, the one you fell asleep in agony over because she had betrayed you, was indeed telling you the truth, and that you are going to be the earthly father of the Son of God. Aha, total faith. I don't know what your aha moment has been, but the aha moment is where the rubber meets the road. the time when we evaluate what's most important to us, a time to ask ourselves if our priorities that we put the most in, either with our time, our talent, our finances, if those priorities truly line up with what we claim is most important in our life. There were two sisters that were so close to each other. They came from a large family and they had several siblings, but these two always had kind of had a special bond between each other. They, along with their husbands, would visit each other every month or so, even though they lived several hundred miles apart. They would vacation together, and they often talked on the phone back in the day when long-distance calls were expensive. And on one of those telephone calls, one sister made a comment that made the other sister angry. And they fought, they argued, and they said things they shouldn't have. And by the time they hung up on each other, several years went by without any communication. No cards, no apology letters, no visits, no phone calls, just silence. And before too long, anger was replaced by pride. They probably really even couldn't remember what made them mad in the first place. But neither would take the first step to mend their broken relationship. Their husbands tried to be peacemakers, but they knew they couldn't fix it. Their family and their friends were surprised and sad, and at times it was very awkward. And it wasn't until several years later, when one of the sisters was dying, that the other sister swallowed her pride, raised her courage to come and visit in the midst of a lot of tears. There was an aha moment. New beginnings. That's what I'm about. That's what Christmas is about. See, life doesn't always turn out the way we want or hope, and especially in this time of year when your days are supposed to be merry and bright, reality can often hurt. Life doesn't always play out the way we think it should, and relationships can be messy, and at times like the holidays, it can emphasize that point more than others. Things happen in life with families that can be difficult. Words get said, emotions get strained, feelings get hurt, expectations do not get met, blame gets assigned, and leaving behind painful wounds that never properly heal. It happens. Life happens. And if we're not careful, the relationships in our lives, our spouse, our children, our family, our church family, our friends and neighbors, relationships that were meant to be encouraging and beautiful can be bruised, damaged, or simply cast aside. We don't know the dynamics of this father in the video and with his children. We don't know what they were like. We don't know the specifics. We don't know why or how their relationship went bad. But it doesn't really matter. We all know people that this has happened to, and probably we've all experienced this on one end or the other of a relationship gone bad in our own life. Sometimes the reasons are hard to remember after a while, and all that remains is silence. But the problem with silence is it makes us uncomfortable. And we do our best to fill it with something. And sometimes that becomes anything. And in the hole of silence, too often we fill it with that which causes further separation in our relationship rather than bringing healing and restoration. In our video and in Christmas, we see a father taking the initiative to love and to make things right with his family by going to them when they wouldn't come to him. God knew there needed to be a bridge. But the children of Israel, the chosen ones of God, they'd filled the silence with so much that they couldn't even hear or see God. Even if he came but to them in the flesh, they missed him. But that didn't stop God from coming to build a bridge so that sinful mankind, you and me, could once again be in an intimate, holy relationship that he designed for us from the beginning. Nothing is going to separate me from my kids. So instead of waiting on people, his children, to change, God took the initiative to love and to make things right with the world, and ultimately to make things right with you and with me. The only reason we can celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas, with hope is because the Heavenly Father gave such a gift out of a heart that was filled with love. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at this incredible text. Because John, the apostle of John that was with Jesus, was one of his closest friends, would later in his life write these words. We love, in verse 19 of chapter 4, because he first loved us. Today, as we unwrap the gifts of Christmas, we're unwrapping the gift of reconciliation. God came to us. God knew that if things were going to be made right with him, he had to make the first move. He had to give the first gift. And so he did. The Father made the first move to rescue our broken relationship with him, to bridge the gap for a new and fresh start. And it was all based upon love and relationship. And in John, 1 John chapter 4, we see this gift of reconciliation, and it's neatly wrapped in the gift, love, the love gift from God who sent his Son. We see reconciliation from the beginning of God's word to the closing pages of Revelation. We see the central theme of love shining bright like the star that shone over the manger in Bethlehem. So I want us to take a few moments and look at these words from John through the fresh lens of the Father's love, a love that refused to let anything come between him and his children. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. I believe verse 9 is John's way of saying, Merry Christmas. Verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Last Tuesday at our Band of Brothers meeting, we've been working our way through a book called The Story. It's a 31-week overview of the Old and New Testament. And for the past 11 months, we just completed in 11 months the Old Testament. And last Tuesday, we started the New Testament with the Christmas story. And in the translation notes between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the author shared these words that I want us to consider this morning. God's story wasn't finished. When the set time had fully come, as the Apostle Paul put it, God spoke again, this time in the person of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, whose birth, life, death, and resurrection changed everything. Now the prophets' ancient promises of a new servant king and kingdom of God, the promises anticipated for so many years, came to life in bold new ways. Now the people could see personified God's gracious, compassionate, unfailing love and dedication to restoring lost relationships through this carpenter and itinerant preacher, Jesus, the Messiah come to set his people free. All of the wisdom and purposes of God centered in Jesus' mission on planet Earth. He was God's final word. That hit me. I've read this two or three times. That hit me anew. He, Jesus, was God's final word. See, here's what I believe God was saying. There's nothing that will separate me from my kids. After this trip, our relationship will never be the same. That's a good thing. New beginnings, that's what I'm about. That's my plan for Christmas, a new beginning with my kids. That, my friends, is God's final word. And that's one of the gifts of Christmas, reconciliation. Most of us are not crazy about change. There's a few weirdos out there that thrive on change, but most of us, we're not that crazy about change. I always tell people, I don't mind change as long as it's planned. You know, I'm spontaneous as anybody else, but just let me know beforehand, okay? We love our traditions, and we do everything we can to keep things the way they are, the way they've always been. But Christmas is God saying, after this, nothing can be the same. The people walking in darkness, those bound by the chains of sin, the message of Christmas combined with the message of the cross and the empty tomb, that's good news. Love came for me and for you, and nothing will ever be the same. That's a gift worth celebrating. That's a gift worth receiving. That's a gift worth giving. This father in the video leaves his home and goes out to meet his family. And he was making himself vulnerable. He didn't know how they were going to respond, but he didn't care. The desired, the hoped for, prayed for reconciliation was worth any possible rejection to him, so he was willing to go and face whatever came. And that was true of our Heavenly Father. Not everybody accepted him. In fact, very few did at first. But he didn't care. It was worth the risk. And friends, when we think about reconciliation, that's true for us too. So let's unwrap this gift, reconciliation, just a little bit further as we continue reading in 1 John 4. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Do you hear what he's saying there? Nobody's seen God, but if we love each other the way God loves us, people see him in us. That's what he's saying. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, not just when they like me or the things I like, not just when they agree with my politics or they have the same hobbies or they have the same taste in music, not when the things that are important to me are important to them, there's no conditions. Since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. And when we do, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Friends, life will never be the same. This Christmas gift from God of reconciliation is not only offered by God, but we as his adopted children, we can give this gift also. And again, we don't know how such invitations of love, hope, and reconciliation will be received. We don't know. But whether those we reach out to in love accept or reject this gift, we'll also never know until somebody takes the first step. The gift of reconciliation. Is it possible that this Christmas, it could be about relationships that have lingering wounds that need to be healed and made whole? I caution you, it may not happen all at once. But what if a step was taken that led to a second and then to a third? Perhaps all God desires to happen this Christmas is for someone, maybe you, maybe me, to take the initiative to make the first move, offering the gift of love and reconciliation that God offered to us. It might just lead to someone receiving and accepting God's love coupled with our love and bring a fresh start. See, with God on our side, there's nothing that's beyond repair. There's no relationship beyond fixing. And especially that's true of our relationship with God. God in heaven sees the space between us has become too great. So God still comes to us. God still comes to meet us. Wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever the past, whatever the present, if we unwrap the gift of reconciliation, then this can be our future. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What better gift could any of us give to others than the gift that God gave us that first Christmas? Father, I pray that you would help us to see that you've given us a pretty significant job to share this gift of reconciliation with a world that's still chained and in bondage because they haven't either heard about or have accepted the gift that you gave that first Christmas. Father, if there are relationships in our life that need to be restored, give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the humility to take the first step. Help us be wise, help us to be genuine, and help us to make the step of coming together and saying, you know what, that doesn't matter, I love you. Please forgive me. I forgive you. Lord, whatever it takes, help us have the courage to take that step first so that we can then share your gift. Lord, this isn't easy. In fact, it's a little bit terrifying. But God, you aren't asking us to do it on our own strength or in our own power. You have promised to be with us. So God, help us either to accept the gift of reconciliation that you've given to us, help us to accept the gift as we share with one another, and Lord, help us to share the gift that you gave us that first Christmas with anybody who needs to hear and needs to see so they can be reconciled with God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.